Welcome into the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here. A lot going on in the aftermath of a 3-1 defeat. Atlanta United falls to Necaxa in the opening match of Phase 1 here of the League's Cup. And directly after the match, Madison Cruz was able to catch up with Ronnie Dyla down on the field.
Coach, what did you see from the touchline today?
Good game. Playing very good. Conceded 3 very easy goals again. Set play, 3 set play. But we have also our chances. We have to put the ball in the net. You know, we have these kind of chances that we have. We don't do it, and then we get punished in the end. So, but I see so much good in many ways of the game.
Heading into Saturday, how important will it be to utilize the depth within this squad for Saturday's match?
That's something you have to see, you know, who is ready or who is not. But we need to get the win. We have to keep going, try to get better, because we fall in too short every game, and that's very frustrating when we, in my opinion, are the best team on the pitch. That's crazy.
Luke Brennan, he has been, I believe, one of the best players out there the last couple of times. How important is he to that attack up top for you guys?
He's played good. So, but again, we need a more end product from all of them up there. And we have the ball so much, we have so many situations around the 16, and we don't get more goals than the one. And also, you know, we did have 3 chances today, so they scored 3. So it's both ways. We are not keeping concentration in the final moments.
Awesome. Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
That was Madison Cruz with Ronnie Dyla. We'll get to some breakdown analysis with John Nelson in just a moment. But for further commentary, Ronnie Dyla also speaking at his post-match press conference.
Bought out another.
Did the club put you in? We had the same challenges. We conceded goals there. And also we have had the whole season. We conceded 2-3 goals in every game. So that's no difference. They have played their minutes, and they have also done the same things. So it's coming into new ones now. And they need a little bit of time, of course, to get because they haven't played football games for a couple of months. So we have a transition period in that way. But we are building a team that is going to be winners. And right now we are some between there. But as I said, the identity of the team, I love what I see in the first half. Long periods in the second half, so we have 2 big chances to kill the game. And with Miggy there, I think Miggy has these 2 chances. And we have some really good switches, so it's like being more accurate in the last third of the pitch. But that will come. I see so much positive signs. But it's very frustrating to sit there and talk about that when you end up losing every game.
And how difficult of a situation is the team in now? Unable to get any points out of this, and only 4 teams out of 18 advancing into the next round?
That puts us in a very difficult situation. But we have to go to win the 2 last ones. That's going to be the goal, and develop ourselves, because we need to get better. That's the only thing. There's so much things that I can say positive about it, but in the end, the whole situation gets very negative out of what happens in the end.
Just Coach, you said you saw so many positive things. Are we just trying to kind of finish the season strong and look forward to having a completely healthy roster next year? Is that something to kind of look forward
to? We want to fight to the last moment. I think, you know, it's so small things to get this to click really, really good. So I haven't given up anything this season. But we have put ourselves in a situation that's very difficult. And we need to get better, whether it does, you know, come to the playoffs or that's something to do something next year. We need to use every week to improve and to work with details. And we've done that all the time. I really believe that we're going to be very good in the end.
The comments of Ronnie Dyla, both with Madison Cruz and then there in the post-match press conference. John Nelson of Soccer Down here, still writing. I roll it right off the top of the head. I've got a couple of thoughts on what he said. I know you're finishing up your notes there.
Thank you for filibustering.
Yeah, a couple of things. Let's just go ahead and make this clear in regards to League's Cup.
Yeah.
While they are not mathematically eliminated, Atlanta United, they certainly do not control their own destiny. They are capped now, as Mike Conley mentioned. They're at a maximum of 6 points, and based on what the other 17 other MLS squads are able to accomplish. They just don't control their own destiny. Mathematically, be incredibly difficult. A couple teams picked up 2 points last night. A couple teams picked up one. Some stuck with you at zero. So it will be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to advance beyond phase one. So with that said, my first thought, and kind of the first thought that Ronnie Dyla said with Madison Cruz, and I mentioned it to you in regards to Miguel Almirón mm-hmm. when you and I were sitting watching the game. Yep. He thought that Atlanta United was the better team, mm-hmm. and I don't disagree with him by any stretch. And it's we've had a couple of different conversations in regard to what goes wrong with this team at different times of the season. There's certainly been times where we said they can't get it right coming out of half. We're a little scary today in the first 15 out of halftime, but they got through it and they survived it, kind of.
Right.
but one of the things we have at times talked about, especially early this year, is being the better team and going to halftime at a certain scoreline, be it only up 1-0 or be it a scoreless draw at halftime. Today, for instance, 1-1 at halftime. There were three between the first half and second half, three specific chances at the foot of Miguel Almirón that changes this game. Could have been a different storyline. Kind of comboing one of those Miggy chances was Maranchuk needs to take a shot with his right foot instead of lay it off. I do think Atlanta United was the better team, but ultimately this has been a problem all year long, John, and that's finishing and finding the back of the net.
And I know that you and I were talking. There was the one chance I know that stuck out in our minds in the second half where it might be the same play where Alexi is working to his right. He passes it to Miggy, and Miggy has that chance with open space off of his right shoulder to go near post, and instead he brings it back because he wants to bring it back to his preferred left
yeah.
foot, which we've seen a lot where Miguel wants to go with
the
left.
To be fair, this is a play in the second half where the keeper did make a really nice save.
Yeah,
so Unsain, a little bit of
yeah.
credit there.
Yeah, Unsain made an absolutely incredible save there, and you know, it was just one of those opportunities where Miggy, more often than not, wants to go with his preferred left foot because we know the power that's associated with it. And I know that that's one that sticks out with a lot of folks, especially as you're trying to chase after that second goal and then chase the match in the final 15 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt about that. There was also a Latte Loth semi-breakaway that kind of fell apart as he approached the box there. So that, to me, is one of the things that I look at when I listen to the words of Ronnie Dyla, and I tend to agree. And I'll tell you straightforward, if I think Atlanta United has been outplayed or was not the better team, I'm also going to be fair to them. It is an issue that they can't perform, can't get results when I do feel that they have outperformed their opponent like they did tonight, especially in this format that is so unforgiving, John, that has essentially, and again, it's not completely mathematically, but it feels like it ended tonight, even though you were the better side.
Well, but you have those two matches that you have, the one on the weekend in Central Florida. Then you come back here on the midweek, a week from tonight. Bottom line is, to get a sniff of the top four, you've got to win out, you got to win big. That's
max of 6 points there.
Right, and so
change the goal differential.
Right, so you're minus two down, you've got to flip it. So basically, win both big, and honestly, it could come down to just in, you know.
And now you're a huge Liga MX fan.
Yeah. Well,
the other side of that.
Well, and at the same time, you come down to match day three, a week from today, and you basically could have matches that are kickabouts. You know, 90 minutes of just sitting there and going, oh, hey, look, there's the ball. And you sit there and you just mess around with it for 90 minutes to assure your own safety and possibly advancing forward if you are secure right there. So, I mean, you could have folks that are spoilers. You could have kickabouts a week from today. But the bottom line is, for Atlanta United, after today, no points, minus two in goal difference. You've got to make that up. You've got to win big. You're at 6 points, and you're at the mercy of everybody else above you.
You want to really have some fun? Here we go with a statistical recap brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Nikoksa had 54% possession to Atlanta United's 46%. Shots were 15 for Nikoksa, 17 for Atlanta United. Shots on goal, 5 for Nikoksa and 4 for Atlanta United. And then here's when I get to where you feel like Atlanta United is the better team. You feel like there were chances. You feel like there were moments. XG for Nikoksa at 1.2. XG for Atlanta, a full goal better than that at 2.2.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the opportunity in the 50th with Miggy, and that was in the second half where you had the big save, and then the one you were discussing with Latte Lott with Miggy and Latte Lott 20 minutes later, and you're wondering why you had the cutback in that opportunity. And there were another couple of moments that obviously we can get into as we go here, but it comes down to embracing the chaos and understanding the gentleman with the flags and the whistles.
Well, I was going to bring that up.
Okay, here we go.
We got the highlights coming in our next segment. Mm-hmm. Do you want to try and explain what happened on that first goal? Recorded as an own goal to Goose.
Okay.
Do we want to hear it first?
Let's do that, and then we can hear it, and then we can walk through it. Because
you already sound like you're dreading these moments.
Well, but it's I'm not dreading the moment.
I'm not sure we can give a very clear and
that's the problem.
Yeah, it's tough for us to communicate.
If we can't communicate what the idea was at the end of it, then how can it be communicated at the beginning that if this, then this? And
all right, you got a tablet.
Migraine.
I got a cell phone. Yeah. We're going to try and do 5 minutes of research here in the break. When we come back, we will hear the highlights and we'll try to explain what exactly gave Nikoksa the 1-0 lead. And then we'll hear the rest. Alexi Moronchuk and of course, the Nikoksa man of the match who came in as a sub. We'll hear all of the highlights in a couple of moments. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. It's Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United falls in the first match of League's Cup to Nikoksa 3-1. They still have two more matches in what is termed Phase 1 of League's
Cup.
At Pumas on Saturday. Not technically, I guess, against Pumas.
Against
They're
Pumas,
technically
yes.
a road game.
Right.
It is going to be played in Orlando at Interinco Stadium.
Orlando.
And then back here in a week's time against Atlas right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But it is certainly an uphill battle after dropping all 3 points tonight. Nikoksa potentially on their way to advancing, but it will be very difficult for Atlanta United. Again, felt and agree with Ronnie Dyla that there were some positives here. I certainly want to highlight Luke Brennan. I certainly want to highlight, if not the performance, at least one specific play made by Ania Mihai.
Ooh, yeah.
We'll talk about that as we have plenty of time. Because unfortunately, we do have to listen to the highlights. They are brought to you by SCANA. For over 20 years, SCANA Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Atlanta United was playing pretty well the first 10 minutes or so of this match. Had a couple of moments that made you do a double take and thought there were some real chances there. But unfortunately, in the 12th minute,
It started in the 12th
Yeah,
minute.
I don't know how to exactly walk my way into this one. Somehow there's an own goal that goes against Brad Guzan that took a five-minute VAR review, looking for a handball, looking for offsides. Ultimately, it still stays. Here's how it sounded.
Pavlosino sending it to the edge of the 18 where it's headed away by Amador into the far attacking corner. Now here's a low cross to the near post that is knocked away but not cleared, and Nikoksa scores. Atlanta United, the victim of some bad bounces they couldn't clear, and Raul Sanchez, after a couple deflections, beats Guzan to make it 1-0 Nikoksa.
So let's try and walk through this.
Yeah, we're going to have to. It's going to take a while.
Because I don't think obviously Mike is calling it live,
right.
And he doesn't know that a guy's a smidge offsides.
Two guys, maybe.
I don't know which. I still don't know which one they called.
Right.
He also doesn't know that there's one of the deflections is going to be reviewed for handball. So he's calling it as it happens. It is an incredibly difficult set of circumstances to understand what exactly they were looking for, in what order they were looking for it, and ultimately what the eventual ruling was. From a macro standpoint, the eventual ruling was goal. We understand that.
Right.
How it was determined that the goal was going to stand is what is kind of up for dispute right now. Because there were times let's work backwards.
I was going to say, do you want to work backwards here?
Backwards forward. Yeah. Guy's offsides. Let's start there.
Well, okay. Well, I was going to go offsides. Even further back where I would say, frankly, if you look at it and go all the way to the end, I would have called no goal penalty.
I would have too, and that's what's confusing about it. So this is where I want to start. Okay. I agree. We both agree the ultimate call should have been no goal penalty kick.
Right.
Here's what happens, at least by my determination, correct? I think you and I are pretty aligned
on
this.
Okay, so go ahead and I'll interject.
There is a player that is offside.
If not two, yes.
So a goal should be disallowed.
Yes.
It then reverts to before the players were offsides, was there a handball? I believe that the referee did determine that there was a handball.
But if there was a handball and you notice that the official after VAR is walking forward and he's pointing to his forearm to Atlanta United players, is that is he saying natural position?
So, all right, let me stop you before you go on.
Sure.
If he's saying natural position, you and I both agree the guy was offsides. It should have been disallowed. It's a free kick for Atlanta going the other way.
Yes.
So that can't be what he's saying.
I guess, I mean,
if he's saying it is a handball,
yeah,
I am going to let the goal stand, which is what it felt like happened.
Yeah.
That's also not the correct interpretation of the rules by my purview. It goes back to what you and I have agreed upon. The offsides doesn't take place. A handball doesn't take place. A goal is disallowed. You're going to have an Akoksa penalty kick. It felt like he said, well, a goal was scored, so we're just going to give the goal even though there was a handball and it could be a PK.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. And again, we didn't really get much of a description. I know sometimes at the MLS games they'll
PA,
go with the PA and describe you. We didn't have that.
No.
And so you and I are left trying to decipher hand signals and as to what exactly was allowed, was disallowed. Either way, ultimately it stands as a goal. That puts Necaxa in the lead. Didn't feel deserved, both from the run of play in the moment, but also necessarily didn't feel deserved by probably should have been a penalty kick. And look, it might still be 1-0, right? So let's be fair to Necaxa.
Right. So even if we extrapolate this to say where we agree that at the end of the call it should have been no goal penalty,
they could bury
odds are that gets buried and you're 1-0. But it goes to a larger point about what you are looking at when it comes to officiating in this tournament and what you have to prepare yourself for, both, you know, within, I guess, athletically and emotionally when it comes to what you're staring at here, because there were some things that went on in this match
multiple times
where you're sitting there and you're scratching your head about this particular crew going, I don't know where that came from. And I don't know what they were looking at compared to the rest of us. So it's just, if you understand that this is where they're coming from, that expect the unexpected, deal with it, and go forward and understand that you're going to get some oddities here. This was number one oddity on the evening. At the end of the day, it speaks to a larger picture. It doesn't necessarily speak to what we're discussing when it comes to Atlanta United and them being on the front foot in the first 45 in front of Necaxa, even if the result at the end of 45 was still honors even.
Yeah, hopefully at some point we get a better explanation of exactly why the goal was given as opposed to something else, whatever else it might have been.
Migraine.
But there it was, 1-0 in the 12th minute. But Atlanta United does respond in the 28th minute, technically unassisted, but we'll give credit where it's due after we listen to it. Mike Conte with the call of an equalizer for Atlanta United.
Sent down the middle, TRA at center spot, dropping it back to Moranchuk, fires an immediate long angle down the left wing to Brennan. Here comes Amador to overlap as Brennan goes through Martinez to the top of the 18 and slips it through to Moyamba. Here's his cross, parried away, and then slammed into the net by Alexei Moranchuk.
Goal!
excellent team goal by Atlanta United to equalize in the 28th minute.
All right, so Moyamba is crossing it. It is not a shot, but the keeper does get a paw to it, and so it is deflected. That's why there is no assist.
Right.
But I do want to start the setup here. Alexi Maranchuk has the ball centrally. He sends it out wide left to Luke Brennan. Luke Brennan absolutely makes a man miss and opens up some space. He then has a nice through ball to Tristan Moyamba, who made a nice cutting run as well. Moyamba then is set to lay it off towards the middle of the goal mouth. It gets deflected, and Maranchuk's there to clean it up. But look, this goal certainly does not happen without Luke Brennan, does not happen without Moyamba, and Maranchuk on both ends of this thing got that one done. So that's how it was. Again, as Conti said, one of the better team goals of the season for Atlanta United. And again, still do want to talk about Luke Brennan a little bit as we continue here on the full-time report. We will have time to do that in a little bit. But it turns into the second half. Things get a little chippy on both sides. We have another VAR review or two.
I want to know how it was only 5 minutes that were added in the first 45.
Yeah,
VAR check took five.
So here's my thing about stoppage time. I'm much more willing to deal with a longer stoppage time in the second half. For me, at halftime, I'm like, let's just go to halftime, man. Like, I don't know. Just go to halftime. So I'm not going to complain about that. What I will complain about is in the 77th minute, some ugliness for Atlanta United gives Nkoksa the lead once again.
Paolo Vecino will send it out of the near corner goal to our right. And it'll go to the penalty spot, and they bang it past Guzan on a header to make it 2-1 Nkoksa. What a goal. Banged in off the head at the penalty spot at high velocity, and Atlanta United trails again.
Couple of things here. That's a goal that gives Nkoksa a 2-1 lead. The frustrating part of that is they had a breakaway in the moments just prior. Anam Mihai comes in with a huge recovery off of a absolutely dreadful play from Derek Williams.
Yeah.
Anam Mihai is completely out of position because he shouldn't be defending a counter. Uses the speed we talked about him having.
Rescued the play.
And creates an incredible one-on-one comeback save, but concedes the corner. And that, unfortunately, is the impending result. I do want to be critical of Mihai as well. He was floating a little bit, and that ball sailed just over his head. He moved a little bit off where he probably should have been, and it gets over him and put it in the back of the net.
Well, what I will do in countering your argument is Mihai is in his second match and in his 12th minute of his second match learning behaviors of those around him in a set-piece opportunity. The corner should not have happened in the first place because of what Mihai had to do to save the play from being basically one versus the keeper, and it turns into the corner kick. Badaloni comes in, scores his first of two goals in basically 16 minutes of play, and that made it 2-1, and Atlanta United had to chase from that point.
I also do think there's just a weird letdown after the big play. I think you get the corner kick that comes after a huge save. Goose is out there pumping up Mihai, and everyone's rallying around it, and there's just a letdown in that moment. Tomas Badaloni puts that one home, and then the stoppage time goal that pretty much secures all 3 points for Nkoksa is a brace for Badaloni.
They'll play short. Again, this time to Monreal, who dribbles along the end line. His cross blocked up in the air off Fernandez. Loose at the edge of the six. Headed clear but not out to Calderon, who drives it to the penalty spot. Badaloni slams it in, and Nkoksa is going to win this match against Atlanta United. They take a 3-1 lead. Badaloni, the substitute, with two goals to win it for Nkoksa here in the second half.
Yeah, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Atlanta United tried to push up the field, but too little, too late. And so it does finish at 3-1. We got a couple of pieces of audio we want you to hear. Looks like Luke Brennan spoke with Jason Longshore. We've got Derek Williams, Ronald Hernandez, I believe, as well. So we'll let you hear that on the other side. Before we do that, though, even though it's not going to go into the official standings, and we make sure to keep this thing clear, I do want to give out tonight a man of the match, John. So who we have?
It's going to go to Alexei Maranchuk.
I think that's the one and only.
Yeah, 8.2, according to our friends at SOFA, score the full 90 minutes of the goal on the night. 71 touches, 50 of 58 passing at 86%. 7 key passes tonight from Alexei Maranchuk. Four successful crosses in 7 attempts, 2 for 3 on his long balls, 2 big chances created, had the 1 shot on target as well, and that is just a little bit of what we got to see from Alexei Maranchuk tonight. So AM59 gets the unofficial player of the match award for his efforts tonight against Necaxa. 1 shot on target, 1 ground duel, 1, 1 offside as well. But once again, the big numbers up front. 4 accurate crosses, 7 key passes, 2 long balls, 86% passing, 71 touches, Alexei Maranchuk, and 8.2 on SOFA score. The unofficially player of the match.
Yeah, I think that's the right choice, John. When we come back, we have an opportunity to hear from a number of players. We're going to start with Luke Brendan, though. Jason Longshore had a chance to have some comments with him because I do want to highlight his play on the left side as well. So a lot still to come here on the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United in League's Cup action falls 3-1 tonight to Necaxa. We've got a couple more segments to break some stuff down and set the scene for the rest of Phase 1 in the League's Cup. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. It is the Full-Time Report live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson, after a 3-1 defeat to Necaxa in the first match of Phase 1 of League's Cup. We'll take a look at what's going on around the rest of the tournament in our next segment. But before we do that, I do want to highlight another player, and Maddie mentioned it in her interview with Ronnie Dyla, another guy that certainly has had an impact since coming on. And this is now his third straight start, if my memory serves. Luke Brendan getting the attention up on the left. And again, very integral in the goal that was scored for Atlanta United. And he was dangerous throughout the evening on that left side for Atlanta United. And Jason Longshore had an opportunity to spend a few moments with him after the match.
So, yeah. Just the performance today. What'd you see out there?
I mean, yeah, I think it was tough, but I feel like it's been how games have been going. I feel like we're playing well, and then we get a bit unlucky, and we kind of drop our heads.
Felt like the first half you were really starting to impact the game, and the field was tilting your way.
Yeah.
What did you see on that side for you?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was getting the ball, and I obviously could go 1v1, and that's when I feel most comfortable, and I can impact the game the most, so yeah.
And the last one for me, it felt like the counter pressure and you were leading a lot of that. How important is it for this team to be successful for the attackers to press?
Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, you see where we win the ball in important parts of the field, and I think we can be more effective at that.
One of the things that has impressed me most, and you've seen Luke a lot more than I have mm-hmm. because you've seen him with the twos.
Right.
One of the things that has impressed me most as he's kind of gotten an opportunity to showcase himself on the left side, yes, I think you ask him to come in and run it, guys. And he did that at times tonight, and he won some of those dribbles at times as well. I think the passing, the spacing, the movement, the communication, all of that for a guy as young as he is probably going a little bit under discussed because we talk about, you know, I can't wait to see him run at a defender.
Yeah.
And I understand the excitement because if he beats that defender like he did tonight, you're an immediate goal scoring opportunity and it did lead to a goal. But I think he's doing so much more than just give me the ball, I'm going to run at it, dude. I think he is playing within a system. I think he is playing within what allows Maranchuk to be dangerous and Moyamba to be dangerous and whether it's TRA or Latte Loth to be dangerous. I think he is playing at a very intelligent level right now.
I think what you're seeing with Luke Brendan is someone who is learning in real time, if that makes any sense, where you see Luke adjusting to life in Major League Soccer. You're seeing Luke adjust to life against Liga MX sides. You're seeing him adjust to life on the first team, getting consistent minutes, and taking what we know that is a part of his skill set and working, as you say, within the system with what Ronnie Dyla wants him to do. Obviously, Ronnie said in the interview with Maddie that he wants to see more end product from Luke, but you're seeing all of these different things from Luke Brennan, and just to run through some of his numbers on the night, 46 touches, 14 of 16 passing on 46 touches, two incomplete passes, if you want to call them that, two key passes on the night, five dribble attempts successful, six ground duels, one for Luke on the night, fouled once, you mentioned, he really was fouled like five times, had one clearance and one pick to help out defensively as well, but I think you're seeing the game slow down for Luke, if that makes any sense, where you're used to seeing like rookies who in other sports, they'll sit there and they'll go, okay, I'm getting my first match here, my first game here, whether it's, you know, whatever your favorite sport is, but you're seeing those reps and you're seeing things kind of slow down for where Luke is learning in real time.
Yeah, I think there's probably a desire for him, and he probably has to remind himself not to do this, to just get the ball and go forward. And there's a reminder, hey, it's okay to cut in. It's okay to play a drop pass, and I do think you're right. I do think that you can see the intelligence level kind of showcasing itself in the differences in what he's shown match by match by match. I know Dyla was very critical of him after his first match. Last match, we didn't really hear much about Brennan. I thought he was fine, and then tonight there was some even as far as compliments in how he's been playing.
Well, one of the things that in conversations that I had with Steve Cook and that we have with Steve Cook with SDH before he went on to Lexington to be a part of Lexington SC was stylistically as a coach, he is one of those coaches that if you have a good match, he's still going to come at you with constructive criticism. If you have a match where the team has a rough day, he's still going to come at you with a compliment. And so yeah. I think that you have those inverses working with Luke as well, where, okay, first time out, you did great. Let's work on this. Okay, second and third time out, you were great, but still work on these kinds of things. So you're coming at it from the inverse so it can continue to be a learning experience because out of the blocks, yeah, you do great. You don't want to have your coach sit there and say, fantastic, 100% correct. You know, there's no build from there if you sit there and say everything's great from the beginning.
No, but there is reason for excitement.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's important because I think in another universe, there's a situation where Luke Brennan comes in and he's one of those, to use a baseball term, one of those 4A guys that is – yeah, he's kind of good enough to be up here, but you're not going to get that much night in, night out. But if he goes with the twos, he's too good for them. It's just one of those kind of betweener guys.
Yeah.
You're getting more than that, and I think that's certainly important. We also have some sound from Brad Guzan and Derek Williams. When we come back, we'll hear from Derek Williams. I want to talk about everyone that played for a moment at center back today. Steon Gregerson, Derek Williams, and Nia Mihai as well. So a lot more to come. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down here. It's Abe Gordon, Mercedes-Benz Stadium after a 3-1 defeat in League's Cup. Atlanta United falls to Necaxa. There is more coming up in about 5 minutes on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll go back in, 92.9 The Game, the full-time report. Atlanta United falls to Necaxa in their opening match of League's Cup, 3-1. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they'll donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $4,000. Derek Williams and Brad Guzan had an opportunity to speak with Jason Longshore just a couple of minutes ago in the post-match. Let's start with what Derek Williams had to say along with the voice of Atlanta United, one of the voices of Atlanta United, Jason Longshore.
The second half tonight.
Bit of a similar story to all season. I thought we actually started off pretty well. Had a few chances. And then I give up away the ball. They get a corner. And Nia makes a great block. And then they score from the corner. Yeah, it kind of sums up our season. Because I thought the first 60, 70 minutes we were by far the better team. And yeah, goals change games.
Feels like the overall quality of play has improved over the last three, but the results have stayed the same. Is there an easy fix for that?
I agree. There's no easy fix. It's just sticking to it and believing it. And just taking it play by play, which I think we need to do more of. And hopefully one of the chances go in, and then it changes the game. Because I think if we score a second, if we go 2-1 up, sorry, yeah, 2-1 up, they come out more, makes it more space. So it's tough.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was saying in regards to the chances you had in the first half. If you can find a 2-1 lead, completely different ball game there. That was Derek Williams,
and then you also have the PK that got waved off in the 66th minute, where Mihai goes down inside the box, and that also could have been.
Yeah, I think that one was fairly waved off. It was going to be super, super light. I'm not going to say no.
Yeah,
as an Atlanta United supporter. But we would spend the entire show, John, we would spend the entire show breaking that down if that had been given against us. So I'm not going to fight for that one to have stood.
But once again, it's just another example of, no, but what I'm saying is the greater picture of what you're having to deal with as a part of the greater.
Yeah, there were moments that could have changed this game.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. Brad Guzan also stepped up, had an opportunity to speak with Jason Longshore.
Did they give you an explanation on the first goal?
I was just talking to some people inside. No. He said it was a handball. After the handball, he was offsides. But because he scored, he didn't give the handball. That's what I took from it.
Does that make sense to you?
Well, I don't even know what technically the rule is. You would think if it's a penalty, they give the penalty. But he's saying because he scored, if he would have missed, he would have given the penalty, he said. I don't know. So that's where we're at.
What did the team lose in the second half that you had in the first?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, one moment, flip the game, obviously. But even then, we had chances. You know, we were playing well. With one moment, it kind of turned the game on its head a little bit.
Leave the results to the side, but the quality of play feels like it's getting better. How frustrating is it that it isn't matching the results?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the result is a consequence of the performance, and you need to be able to put together a complete performance. And so we can sit here and talk about 45 minutes, 55 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever. If it's not 95-plus minutes, it's not worth talking about. So, we've got to find a way.
I feel like you just got re-agitated hearing Goose
explain
that, because I could see your face. And I want to give credit to Jason Longshore, who's now back up here in the press box.
Yeah.
He ended up at the same spot that you and I ended up at in regards to how he felt it should be called.
It's the beauty of a five-minute commercial.
You call the handball, you call the offsides, it goes to a penalty kick.
It just makes my head hurt all over again.
Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Because for whatever reason, this didn't occur to me at the time. I still think it needs to be ruled offsides and taken back to the penalty spot. It sounds like the simplest explanation is that they played advantage off of the handball.
But you never saw the motion for advantage from anybody.
You also can't just play advantage into an offsides position.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you. Ultimately, we all agree.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it should still go back to... It needs to be a penalty kick.
Handball penalty,
and if it's
goal
1-0
off the board.
After that, it's 1-0 after that.
Right.
But it sounds like to me, in terms of trying to explain it, they played advantage, because if you're telling me that if it's a goal, it stands, right?
Yeah.
And if it's wide, then they're going back to give it. That means to me they're playing on as if there were advantage played. Now, again, you can't. I know this is frustrating, John. You can't play advantage into the offsides.
No.
And so I know. I'm just telling you that's how it sounds like it was called.
Oh,
I feel like I just gave you more of a headache.
Do you remember the sci-fi movie? This could be an IMDb reference for you, but do you remember a sci-fi movie, I want to say from the late 70s, Scanners?
Sure. No, I'm thinking Scanners Darkly.
Yeah.
Scanner Darkly.
Jennifer O'Neill, Michael Ironside. Basically, it was just like the bad guys got to the point to where they could get into your head and make your head vibrate to a point to where it would explode, and they were trying to take over the planet, you know, and Michael Ironside was the heavy. I feel like that's where I am with this apparent explanation of what it was, But once again, you know, it is a part of the chaos that is dealing with teams in this region and crews from this region. I mean, I know that O'Shea Nation got a lot of grief from being center ref from, I want to say he was the Columbus match yesterday. But, yeah, so you're getting all of the CONCACAF officials that you're used to seeing, and you're getting the all these kind of, oh, man.
That's just, and look, I understand it. The game plays out differently if that goal's not given. And again,
Chances are it goes to one nothing at the penalty. We get the penalty,
that.
And I can.
Yeah,
we
understand it. But in the world where Goose gets a hand to it, he guesses right 5% of the time, whatever the numbers are.
But to what Brad said at the end of it with the interview with Jason, result is a consequence of your performance. And I think that that is where we are.
Yeah, I think it's a micro-macro conversation, right? That's a macro conversation. Mm-hmm. The micro is there are these specific moments.
Right.
The micro is not the full 90
no.
plus stoppage time. The micro,
you were the better. You were the better team on the
day. In those key instances
right.
where Miggy doesn't finish three times,
right.
where instead of taking the rip from the right foot, Moronchuk lays it off to Miggy, and it is a good chance all the same.
Yeah.
But I liked it better with Moronchuk had he taken the shot. All right, when we come back, we'll update what's going on in Leagues Cup around the rest of – I can't say around
the rest of the tournament.
MLS, because you got the rest of
the
phase one. We already talked about yesterday. Yesterday broke pretty well for you for majority of the instances. Today not going anywhere close to as peachy. We'll tell you what's going on across the MLS and Liga MX in Leagues Cup Phase 1 on the other side as we wrap things up. It is John Nelson, Abe Gordon, the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final couple moments here. It's John Nelson, Abe Gordon on the full-time report. Look, Atlanta United came into today with a lot of hopes and a lot of potential because the action in Leagues Cup yesterday went about as good as it could go in terms of you're an MLS side, you're trying to advance into a very tough to advance to quarterfinal round. Nobody picked up 3 points yesterday. You thought maybe, hey, you pick up three, you can go to the top of the group here or in phase one. That wasn't the case for Atlanta United. They fall 3-1 to Necaxa, and then on the heels of that, John, things have turned across Leagues Cup. MLS teams are picking up 3 points left and right at the current moment.
Yep, Messi and friends got a goal at 90+6 today. They were 1-1 with Atlas, who we'll see here a week from today. And it was a goal later than late by Chelo Weygandt to give Inter Miami full points. Then you end up with Pumas helping things out a little bit, getting 2 points on the day, drawing Orlando after 90, winning 4-3 in PKs. Minnesota put four on the floor too early against Querétaro to win 4-1. Right now, Salt Lake, RSL, and Club America pulled the governor out of the golf cart, at least in the first 20 minutes. And right now it's 2-1 RSL, so if you're an Atlanta United fan, you are rooting for Club America, and you're also rooting for Atletico San Luis, who is down already 1-0 in the 14th minute at Providence Park against Portland, and it was a goal by David Da Costa in the first minute. So wasting no time, Portland gets a lead, and so you're rooting for Atletico San Luis, and you are rooting for Club America to come back in the second half.
Yeah, essentially you are now tied with NYCFC, who picked up 0 points, Houston Dynamo, who picked up 0 points, those matches taking place yesterday. San Diego picked up 0 points, also
lost. And they won't have Dreyer in the next match because he picked up a red card last night as well.
Yeah, so there you go. It is a tough, tough road back for Atlanta United. But, again, mathematically, you are not out of it. There are going to be four teams of the 18 MLS sides that do advance. You've got to win your next two, divvy up some goal differential right now, and then just hope for the best. And again, just because the teams pick up Inter Miami and you know, if Real can hold on and Minnesota already, the teams with 3 points potentially on the weekend, they drop, you pick up three, and you could be right back in the discussion. But you're now capped at 6 points, and it's going to take a lot of help. You certainly do not control your own destiny, but you do return to action on Saturday a little later than usual. It's going to be at Inter and Coast Stadium there. You are taking on Pumas, who, as you mentioned.
And it's a doubleheader in Central Florida because you have
Orlando, the home team, Orlando taking on Atlas at 6. Then you have Pumas and Atlanta United allegedly at 9 o'clock on the same surface. So if things go 90 minutes, if it's a normal match, then you're looking at a 9 o'clock
kick. Don't you put that evil on me.
I'll put the fenoiks on anybody. Look, I have to go from 100% negative and work backward. So right now it is the back end of a doubleheader in Central Florida on Saturday, scheduled for 9 o'clock, and we'll see. That will be the middle day of match day 2. Tomorrow, you're rooting for Monterrey against Cincinnati. You're rooting for Juarez against Charlotte. You're rooting for Chivas against Red Bulls. You're rooting for Santos Laguna against the Rapids. You're rooting for Cruz Azul, the top seed, against Seattle. You're rooting for Xolos against LAG. But you're the back end of a doubleheader, so you're going to be seeing a lot of the activity go on in a match day 2 on your Saturday before you get the chance to play yourself.
Yeah, and you'll see if you have an opportunity at that point just how many teams have picked up the full 3 or even 2 and have really put you in trouble. That's going to do it for the full-time report. Join us again 8 o'clock on Saturday, August 2nd, for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on Pumas in Leagues Cup. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer,
Dom,
back in studio, and to John Kramer.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
Our on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta
Thank
United.
Thank you, Mike and Jason.
And Madison Cruz and John Nelson of Soccer Down
Thank
Here.
Thank you, Maddie. Thank you, Abe.
I'm Abe Gordon. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 1 and Necaxa 3 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.